We're going to pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to get a little bit further into our lesson. We're going to start in the culture of honor as a supernatural culture. And one of the things that we have to come to a conviction that Jesus Christ himself modeled this Christian life for us. And so if he modeled it for us, then and that's where we should be going. Our destiny is to be coming to fullness of stature who Christ Jesus was, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And so we need to know what he did, how he did it, and how he become effective at what he did. One of the statements he made when he came, and he said, if you turn to John 6:38, that'll be our first scripture for tonight, John 6:38. When we start talking about apostolic government, and we did that prophecy by Isaiah over in chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, and where the government was going to be on his shoulder. And because the government was on his shoulder, then, like I say, he modeled this life for us. So one of the things he said in John, if you go to John 6, chapter 6, verse 38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will," that's part of his secret, "not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me." So he was sent by the Father to do the Father's will. What was the Father's will? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. 1 John chapter 3, verse... I'm just going to give you some foundational scriptures here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 8, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned it from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So part of Jesus' goal when he came to the earth was to manifest God's kingdom in the earth realm and to destroy the works of the devil. So he actually modeled this life for us. So how did he do this? What happened to him when he came? And so he came as a child. He grew up as a child. And then all of a sudden, when he turned age 30, something spectacular happened to him. He came and he took on his ministry. And when he took on his ministry, God anointed him with the power. So turn to Luke chapter 2. And looking at verse 21, Luke 22 and 21, it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, and the heavens was open." So this is when after he had turned 30 years old, he had came to take on his ministry. It says that, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodiless shape, like a dove, upon him. And a voice came out of heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So first things that happened when he took on the ministry was that he was operating under an open heaven. That's the first thing we see there. The second thing we see is that the Spirit of God lit up on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit came up and remained on him. And the third thing is that God himself spoke to him out of heaven, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So he became the Son of God at this time. That's what God says. But as we can see, go through, read through this chapter in Luke, we find out that he took on the nature of man, and he became the Son of God. It said, if you read a little bit further down, it said, and the Holy Ghost descended, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as supposed to be the son of Joseph, which was the son. And then it goes through the natural lineage of how he became who he was. It came from all the way from Adam, all the way through each one of those lineages, which was human lineages. And then it gets down to verse 38. He says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So through his natural lineage, he came in as a man. He operated in this earth realm as a man because he had a natural lineage. But he took on spiritual attributes, became the Son of God. But he told us how we should do that. And so when the disciples came and they trained under him, and as he was training, he told them how they was going to act like he did while he was here on earth, while we was going to do the exact same thing. The supernatural kingdom is what he's implementing in the earth realm. And so he explained to them, and he told them, if you turn to Luke chapter 24 and 49, he told them something also. He said, what I want you to do, just like I became the Son of God, he said, I want you to tarry ye in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. He said, and so he wanted them to do the exact same thing that he did while he was here. And so they was to receive that power like he did. And so he turned to Luke, again, chapter 24. And so he said that in Luke 24 and 49, he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So the same power that he's operating in the earth, he wanted the ones who was following him to be receive that same power. As we've been studying and learning that we are part citizens of the same kingdom, as we go into Ephesians chapter 19:20, where it says we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. It's built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we came into the kingdom as citizens. He goes on to say, the word of God tells us in John chapter 1, and he was talking about Jesus when he came. We can see it again. It talks about being sons of God. So that's important that we get this aspect of it. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, he goes on to say, he said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so now we believe on him. We came into the kingdom of God by believing on him. We came into the kingdom of God by making that confession over in Romans chapter 8, 10 and 9, where it says what says is the word is nigh thee, even in our mouth and in our heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So once we were saved, we come into the kingdom, become citizens of the kingdom. We came citizens of the kingdom. Now we got to mature. We came in as children in the kingdom, but we now have to grow and mature in the kingdom. And according to the Apostle Paul over in Ephesians, he gave us how we was going to mature in this kingdom. And he gave us these fivefold ministry gifts so they can train us and teach us how to operate in the kingdom. We don't just come in the kingdom and become citizen. He say, if you look at verse 12 in John again, he says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we have the power to become sons of God, but will we become sons of God? And it goes on, you know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he says it again. He says it over in Romans. That's one aspect of it. And in Romans, he says, in Romans 8, chapter 4, chapter 8, verse 14, he says, and he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So now you're coming out of the natural, coming over into the realm of the Spirit. So we got to have the spiritual attributes that come up on us, just like Jesus did. So we are coming from a natural kingdom into a spiritual kingdom. So we can operate in this spiritual kingdom the way Jesus did while he was here on the earth. That's our destiny. Part of that, at the end of that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, from 11 to 13, it says, until we come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Until we come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. So what he did while he was here on the earth, we should be doing the exact same things once we mature and grow up into this kingdom. So part of the apostolic government, that's what the apostolic government is important, imparting to us, is that we should learn how to operate in the supernatural. It's going to train us how to operate in it. And then after we are trained in it, then we're going to start acting and operating in it. We have to show forth God's glory here in the earth realm. And the only way he can show forth his glory in the earth realm is find someone who's going to hear his word, believe his word, act on his word, and carry out his will here in the earth realm. And that's what we are learning to do, is operate in the kingdom, in a supernatural kingdom, the way Jesus did. Jesus explained that all the supernatural things that happen through him flow directly from his intimate connection with his Father. He was intimately connected to the Father. And so as we grow and mature, we also become intimately connected to the Father. Turn to, chapter 13, John chapter 13. I just want to give you some scripture foundation so you can go in and you can see it again and you see it just for yourself. And we're not just spouting words. We want to show it to you in the Word of God. Jesus himself was teaching. And so he said, this is how it operates. In John chapter 13, looking at verse 15, and he was talking about one thing, but it's a principle here. What we do in Scripture, we go in and God put principles in the Bible. And when he put the principles in the Bible, we'll act on those principles. Here in John chapter 13, looking at verse 15, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. He said, I was like that. He was talking about washing feet here, but there's a principle there. Just like he did here on the earth for him, he healed blinded eyes. He the crippled walked, and the dumb was able to hear. And so he's saying, as I did while I was here on the earth, I am an example that you should do the same thing as I did. Just like I did it, I want you to do it. He also told us again, you know, while we're here, we're looking at a scripture here in John chapter 14. He said, looking at verse 12, and he said, verily, verily, truly, truly, it is, you know, he said, truly, truly, he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So here it is again. It's important that we know who we're believing on. We're believing on Jesus because we came into the kingdom by believing on him. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation by which all our faith, all our beliefs is Jesus himself. So the whole scripture, whole Bible is pointing to Jesus. Everything that we see. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father but by me. And so if he said that, then it must be important that we know who he is and how he is and what he is and how He bring us into this kingdom so we can operate accordingly. And so he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, John 14, 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. There is again what he said in John 1 over there. He said, they that believe on me, they become sons of God. Now he tells us again. He said, he that believeth on me, the works that I did, that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. He's saying, because I went to my Father. And then that's where you go back and you look over at John, Luke 24 and 49, where you say he had to leave here and he had to go and he had to leave. And so in order for him to leave, he had to leave so he could send the Holy Spirit back. And part of the works that he do, he can bring the Holy Spirit and impart it to all of us. He was just one man walking the earth as a man, but the Holy Spirit can come up on all of us. And all of us at one time. So we all can do. So we got more people doing the works that Jesus did. So we're doing greater works. We should be doing greater works than he did, because he was just one man. So everybody we come in contact, the works that he did, we should be doing also. And the works that we should be doing is manifesting the kingdom here in the earth realm, God's kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the same thing that God wants in heaven, he wants those same things to be done here on earth. But who gonna do it? God is not gonna come down himself out of heaven and begin to do it. He has to find some individuals here in the earth realm who are gonna hear what he say, do like Jesus did while he was here, take on the Spirit of God, hear God's voice, and begin to act accordingly. And so as we do that, then God said, my glory can manifest in the earth realm. God said his glory going to manifest. His glory going to fill the earth some kind of way. So we might as well be the one to do it. We might as well take on, the attributes of Jesus himself and the Holy Spirit and begin to do the works. Why not be part of that, what God is doing here in the earth realm? And so he goes on to say, he said, because of that, he said, my intimate relationship with the Father and my intimate connection with the Father was the way I did these works. He said, and that same connection was what he came to give us through his death and his resurrection. Through his death, he died on the cross. He took on every sin that I had. He took on every iniquity that I had. He took on every sickness and disease I had. In fact, he made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so I took on his righteousness so I can walk the earth like Jesus did in his righteousness. So if I'm in right standing with the Father, every promise in this Bible belongs to me because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells us. It tells us that because Jesus knew no sin, he had no sin on him, God made him to be sin for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So he came to do that for us. So he died on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. He went down in the grave, and then he was resurrected on the third day. And then not only was he resurrected, he was ascended. He ascended on the throne. He went back to heaven and sat on the right hand of the throne of God, and he sent the Holy Spirit back so we can have the same Holy Spirit that he had while he was here on the earth and do the works that he did. We say, well, he could do that because he was God, but he operated in the earth realm as a man, letting us know that we can do the exact same thing that he did. Turn to Philippians right quick. Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin at verse, let's read 5. We'll read verse 5. And one of the things it says here in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So therefore, what we're having to do, we have to put that mind, the same mind that Christ Jesus had while he was here on the earth, we have to have that same mind. And one of the mind It's finding out what God is. Romans 12:2 tell us we are not to conform to this world. As citizens of the kingdom, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Jesus himself knew what the will of God was, and so he was transformed. So what we have to do, we have to transform our minds. We have not be conformed to this world. We can't take on what the world system tells us that comes against us. Adverse circumstances, these situations, life situations that come against us. And what we have to do is find out what the Word of God says about these life situations. And we take on, when we do that, and then we're taking on the mind of Christ in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, but he made himself of no reputation and took on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So just like we are men and sons of God because we took on Christ Jesus, and then we can do the exact same thing. And so we can walk the earth with the power that Jesus had on him through the Holy Ghost and do the same things that we have. We are not doing it. He understood that he was not doing the works. He said, I don't do the works. He said, the Father that's in me himself do the works. And since we got the Father in us, we allow the Father to work through us to do the works. We just get ourselves out of the way. We die to self, basically. And that's how we do it. We crucify. Galatians 2:20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was on the cross. He gave himself for me so I could operate like he did while he was here on the earth. Let's read a little bit further. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself a form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. And being formed in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and of things underneath the earth. So if something come against you and it has a name, you can call on that name of Jesus and it have to bow at the name of Jesus. That's what the Word of God say. So I have to believe that. And by faith, the kingdom operates by faith. And so if God told me that, at the name of Jesus, these things have a name. If it have a name, then it have to bow at the name of Jesus. I begin to use the name of Jesus and cause these things to be eliminated from my life, these life situations that come against me. And so he's saying, scripture. Scripture comes up now. And so, like I say, everything that we do in the kingdom, we have to operate out by faith. We have to have faith for these things that God says in the Word. Hebrews 11:6. And it say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We who come to God must believe that he is and that he rewards them who diligently seek him. And so when we do these things, we have to have faith for these things that God going to say, do what he said he was going to do. He's going to act. If his word says it's going to happen, then it's got to happen. So that's the mind process. That was his secret. He knew that if God said it in his word, then it's going to manifest itself. And so some of the things that, as we're learning, as we're training, as we're maturing in the things of God, some of the things that we have to just know. We have to know scriptures like 23:19, where it says, God is not a man that he should lie. Turn it over, look at it. Where God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he himself is responsible for making it good. And so that's just something we have to know. So we see something in the scripture that he say, then we have to know that it's going to come to pass in our lives. Numbers 23:19, just put it down. I go back and look at it. And so as these things come up, as these scriptures, as you're in these classes, And the Spirit of God, I reveal things to you and show you things. And our place is, you know, not just to write them in my notes. I can say I took notes in the class. My place is to go back and take these words, these scriptures, the Word of God, and begin to do a Joshua 1 and 8 in it. Then, you know, where they say this book of the law should not depart out of your eyes, out of your mouth, but you should meditate in them day and night. And then you make your way prosper and you have good success. Good success. And that's what the kingdom is about. Us having good success, having victory in every situation that comes against us. That's how we operate in the kingdom. So we was going to Numbers 23, and we're going to see, you know, like what did God say? About two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So as we are going through and seeing what the Word of God said, we have to get a foundation of what the Word is saying. So in Numbers 23:19, another awesome scripture that as we are growing and maturing in the things of God. Here, God. He said, God is not a man. So that's the most important part. See, we're so used to, you know, looking at man. A man will say something. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. It may be right one time. It may be something different thing, but it's totally together different. So he's letting us know right off the bat, he's not a man, you know. So that's different right there. He said, and that he should be that neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he make it good? So God said, if I said it, then I will make it good. God said, I'm responsible for making it good. While we're there, let's turn over again to Isaiah chapter 54, and we see it again. Or 55. And 55. So, we're beginning with learning how we're maturing in the things of God, so we can begin to operate in the things of God. And as we're learning, there are certain foundational scriptures that we must know. And if we don't know them, if we never know them, then we can never operate the way God set it up for us to operate. So here in Isaiah chapter, where I read from verse 8. Well, let's go back to 7th verse, and Isaiah chapter 55, looking at verse 7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way. So, you know, we're not wicked, we are righteous because we've taken on Jesus Christ. We've taken on the nature of Jesus Christ. It says, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. So we are not unrighteous, we thoughts of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We saw that over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says that, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We've been pardoned. We've been redeemed from Allah through Christ Jesus. For my thoughts, this is God speaking. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So that's the unwicked. That's the unrighteous. We have to know that. He said, then he goes on and he explains some things. He said, for as the heavens are higher than it, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. You know, he's trying to get us to see, you know, see something different. See that, you know, this is a supernatural kingdom. There are things that you see on the earth. I'm so far higher. I'm higher than the heavens is from the earth. How I feel about you and how you should be operating in this kingdom. You know, things that that seems like they are impossible. God said, with God, nothing is impossible. So if, you know, we know that, then, you know, when we run into seem like an impossible situation, we know God himself can change that situation for us. It's rain coming down and snow from heaven and returning not thither, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then he says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper anything whereunto I sent it. You know, if you have, say you have a report of sickness and disease in your body. And one of the words, you turn right back, turn to Isaiah 53, while we're over here, while I'm here. And we'll see some things here. And so he says, like Isaiah 53 and 5. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Talking about Jesus. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with his stripes, that's a done deal. He took care of that on the cross for me. That's done. And if I can take that and I can believe that, then it can manifest in my life. I have faith for it. It have to happen because God done told me he's not a man that he can lie. So if he can't lie, then that which he said in his word got to come to pass. But then it's not God said, I done did everything I'm going to do for you. But it's up to you to make yourself prosperous. And how you do that? He told you. He told you again, Joshua 1 and 8. You to begin it. I take these words and begin. He tell you over in Psalm 1 and 3, chapter 1, verse 3. And he gets into the point, he's saying, God gets to the point and he tells us, as David's talking in Psalm 1, he's saying, everything that you do shall prosper. So he gets to the point that, you can make yourself prosperous in any situation that you come against by taking the word of God, applying it to your life, and making it manifest. So, my intimate relationship with the Father was the way I did these supernatural acts. So we get to the point, we have an intimate relationship with the Father. And as we have that intimate relationship, the Spirit of God going to speak to us. He's going to tell us things to do. And as he tell us to do, we're going to be leading. So as he tell us, then we bring those things out into the earth realm through us. That's how you get it out in the earth realm. Through individuals, we're going to hear his voice and then act on what he say. We look at situation, we look at life situations, and we think that because life are coming against us, we are doing something wrong. It's not that we're doing anything wrong. We got an adversary. We got Satan. We got an enemy. And so that's why God gave his word, so we can, every time he come against us, and he's in that supernatural realm too. He know God is doing wonderful things for us, but he's going to do everything in his power, reaching our destiny. And our place is to stay on course, stay the course. No matter what happens to us, we are to stay the course. I tell you, like I said, Jesus was our example. He showed us how to do it. Turn to Luke chapter 4. And one of the things he did, he's a master. He's a master. He's a master. And as he show us, he give us examples. How did I handle this situation? Remember, we were saying at the age of 30, Jesus himself came up out of the waters, and it says the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit lit up him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, and it spoke to him and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so he apparently had understood the Word of God. He knew some things that the Word of God. So turn to Luke chapter 4, and we're just going to look at some things here. And it will give us some idea of what he did and how he did it. Here in Luke chapter 4, it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, that's the first thing, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So that, that's that principle. As men is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. It said, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was so now here it is, his natural self, his body, he haven't eaten anything. So now he becomes hungry. And so, I always equate what, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan came to Adam and Eve and he told them, did God actually say that you can't eat from the tree? And so, they start having conversations with him, when he said that. So Eve allowed him to, entice her to eat from the fruit. And she took it and gave it to Adam. And he also ate from the fruit. So we're not to conversate with the enemy. We're to find out what God says about situations and do that. It goes on to say, and the devil said unto him, He said, now, he already knew who he was. God done told him. He opened the heavens up. He told him, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So he didn't have, there was no question about who he came to him and said, if, you know, he put that if there. If you be the son of God, if you, he said, you know, and so he already knew who he was. It was, there's no ifs there. You know, I am, God done told me from heaven, either, you know, heaven's open up. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So, and so he, you know, so what he say? The devil came to, he said, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the son of God, he said, command this stone that it may be made bread. And Jesus answered him and said, and so that's why I say it's important that we learn what the word of God says and be able to give the word. That's why we're not just sitting here, you know, learning scriptures for our, you know, so we say we know some of the scriptures so we can memorize scriptures. We are knowing scriptures so when the enemy come against us, we're like sponges. You know, if you get full of water, that's where you should be with the word of God. You should be full of it. The word of God should come out of you somewhere. You should know that it's there for you to use. And every time, whatever, no matter what it come against you with, you should have a word from the word of God that takes care of that situation. So here it is, Jesus himself says, he's saying, and Jesus answered saying, it is written, you know, so he knew the scripture. He said in scripture, he said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's the spiritual kingdom that we are in. So we, you know, we know what the word of God says about a situation. And so that's what we live by. We don't live by what the world system say should be happening to the word of God says. So he says that man should not live by bread alone, live in the natural, natural situations, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so, you know, you say, well, he came and he tempted Jesus, but Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. He was righteous. You know, he had no sin on him. He was there. He was in, you know, he was around him. So we say, you know, many times we look at it and say, well, they must have did something wrong. No, he didn't do anything wrong. The apostle said yesterday, he made an awesome statement yesterday. He said, there are no testimonies without tests. You have to have a test in order to know who your God is. The only way he can bring you through if you've had a test. And once you had a test and he bring you through that test, and then you can have a testimony of what he did for you. And the next time he comes, he can't come at you the same way. He's going to have to come at you with something differently. But you know he delivered you last time. So with this testimony I had again, no matter what life situations are, he's going to always be able to deliver you from there. Because we, you know, we are victorious. In Christ Jesus, we are victorious. So we win every time. It doesn't matter what it is. We win every time. And so here it is again. He didn't just stop there. He said, and the devil taking him into a high mountain, showed unto him all in a moment of time. He said, you know, he looked out and said, look at all this I'm going to give you, you know. And so he goes on to say, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it to him. So what happened? He gave it to him back in, you know, he gave up the whole everything to Satan when he disobeyed God, and everything came to him. So the earth at that time was belonged to Satan. So he said all these kingdoms, but Jesus came back and he gave it back to him. He took the keys. He took everything from him. And so he's a defeated foe. So he come at you. You put him back under your feet. Keep him under that. He goes on to say, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it to him. If thou will worship me, all shall be thine. Again, he brought the scripture up to him. He said, and Jesus answered unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And this was not the only thing. He came to him three times. And, you know, why his flesh, why his mind was weak. You know, he was weak in the film. We get weak in the attributes. And so, you know, many times what happened, you know, and I see believers and they go to the doctor and they get a bad report. And when they get a bad report, what they do? They get in fear. And as soon as they get in fear, they jump off, they over into the enemy's territory. And so, you know, most people end up dying because they're in such fear because of the things that they've heard about, like cancer, for instance. They've heard about cancer, and cancer causes death and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and all that good thing. But we know what the word is. And so when, what did God tell us over in Timothy? He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's that mind that you've, what you've done. You renew that mind. You don't take on this, he said, and we're not having conformed to this world. But we've been transformed. Our mind's been renewed. God says about these situations. I sent my word to heal them. So I got his word, and he sent it so I can be healed through his word. And so, again, he and Jesus answering, he's saying, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. And least thou, this is the third time, and thy foot, I said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he wanted me, you know, show me your power. Do something that, you know, that show me that you can operate in the supernatural. It's that he wasn't a showmanship. It's not, this kingdom is not for us to show off with it. It's to have victory in situations, but not just to show we have in our lives. And when the devil had ended all these temptations, he departed him for a season. See, you know, and this was a season. So that means that, you know, another season going to come somewhere, you know, but you got to be always ready for him when it's season. You got to worry about, you know, you're not eliminating, you're not staying yourself from the word of God, but you're always concentrating. You're constantly meditating. God told Joshua, he said, you know, in order for you to accomplish that which I told you to accomplish, he was, you know, man, my servant Moses is dead. He said, but you are now responsible for taking the children of Israel to over into the promised land. But then that's when he told him, he said, and this book of the law, you know, you need to keep that book of the law in front of you. You need to keep what God said in front of you. He said, he didn't just say some, he said, you need to part the eyes out of your mouth. But he said, you should meditate in it day and night. And then you make your way prosper and you have good success. So that's a constant thing. So you have that intimate relationship with God and with his word. And then, whenever you need it, it's going to manifest itself. That's how you begin. God said, that's how you do it. You don't, you know, I'm not going to come down and you're going to see, you know, lightning bolts come at you and that type of thing. But you're going to see the supernatural operating in your life by knowing who I am and what I can do through my word for you. While we're here, turn to Psalm one more time, and then we're going to give you a few more notes for tonight. Psalm 1. And that's a kindred scripture to Joshua 1 and 8. Psalm 1 says, he says, blessed or empowered is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the seat of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So the Lord is the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate. It didn't say just sometimes. It said day and night. That means it's a constant thing. I mean, I'm always thinking about God and his goodness and what his word says to me and how, you know, how I'm going to win in every situation and how I'm glorified by Christ Jesus and how I'm already healed by the blood of Jesus. And, you know, these things are always running through, should be running through us. And so when the enemy come against us, we got it here and it's just going to come up. It's going to come up. It's going to come out of your life, like, again, like that water in a sponge. You squeeze it and it goes on to say, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means whatever nourishments I need from that tree, that tree going to receive those nourishments from that river. Because why? Everything that he needs come out of that water. So that's what he's saying. If you're meditating on his word, when you flood you, he said, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, that's an awesome statement. I like that. He said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's why, because I've been day and night, I've been spending time in the word of God. And because now it's going to bring forth fruit when I need it. You know, many times, you know, because we said in the word, you know, we might not need the fruit at that time. You know, fruits are seasonal. You know, apples and oranges are a certain season, sweet potatoes a certain season. And so, you know, we might not need sweet potatoes now. But, you know, sometimes along the line, turkey dressing, yams on the side. Thanksgiving coming up pretty good. So you begin to think about these things. So, you know, like I say, but at certain times, you know, so when you need it, they're going to be there. It's going to be available for you. And so, again, let me give you a few more notes here so we can have signs where signs and wonders follow us. Therefore, totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. So we've already said, you know, John 1:12 tells us as many as receive him. So, and so we have to begin to live out our truth of God. Next week, on the next class, we'll get into the fivefold ministry gifts and the leadership status. You can read through the next chapter in your book. It's the empowering the saints to know God and walk in the fullness of who we know who we are. And when we know who he is, then we can walk in the fullness of who he says we are. As these core values are taught and demonstrated, a group of people will grow up with faith and courage to bring heaven to earth. That's our goal. That the kingdom of heaven be manifested in the earth realm. Jesus told us to pray that. He told us in Matthew chapter 6. He said, pray to your Father that his kingdom come, that his will be done here in earth as it is in heaven. So our goal is to bring heaven. As we learn that the portals of heaven can be open and the supernatural can manifest itself here in the earth realm. That's what happened to Jesus when he came up out of the water. That's one of the first aspects of it. It said the heavens was open. That means that anytime supernatural open, and then once the heavens are open, then you can begin to see the supernatural. The Bible itself is a supernatural book. God himself is a supernatural God. He's a supernatural Father. We are supernatural citizens. So we should be operating in the supernatural. It's nothing, you know, we should be doing it just like breathing. It should become so ordinary to us. We don't think to breathe. And since we don't think to breathe, when we need something supernatural, like the kingdom of God system, and when we need it to manifest in our lives, then it should be operating. So as these core values are taught and demonstrated, a group of people will grow up with faith and courage to bring heaven to earth, developing and understanding a culture. And so again, I've given you scriptures to, you know, just to feed on. And, it, you know, if it's something that you don't understand, that's why, you know, that's why the Holy Spirit was there. That was his whole purpose. To show us how to operate in this supernatural. If you meditate on for the next lesson, we're going to look at John chapter 16. And we're going to make this, since he brought it up at this time, we're going to make that our meditation scripture for this class. And the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he will receive of mine. This is Jesus Father has minds. Therefore said I, that he will take a mind and show it unto you. So God says, Jesus through said, the Holy Spirit, when he come, when you receive him properly, these are the things that he's responsible for doing. And so let these three verses, John 3, verse 15, let that be your meditation scripture for this week. And as the Word of God says, meditate in it day and night, that you may make your way prosperous and have good success. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we give you glory, Father God. As you've given to me, I've given to your people, oh. And so, Father, let us be doers of the word. Glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.